At the pre-meeting this morning, one thing that was said was, nothing is impossible for him, which John prayed out. God wants to fill us so that we overflow. Let's be filled in his presence, opening our hearts. And I want to talk about overflowing this morning a little bit. And the call to mission and evangelism. We talked, haven't we, the last couple of times I've stood here about reaching out. So instead of just being in our own little community here, that we're reaching out to Clifton Road, to Worthing. Oh, take some pictures here. But we started with the whole thing of this verse. Okay. Have you noticed, by the way, and it happens in movies all the time, and then when you're in conversation with people, they say it as well, but that's the most important thing, isn't it? Just listen out for that. Just listen out. That's the most important thing, isn't it? You know, you'll hear it. Planting seeds, that's the most important thing, isn't it? To make sure we're all happy, that's the most important. And it goes on. And it's in TV, it's in movie, it's in conversation. It really is. The most important thing. Well, what is the most important thing? I think the most important thing is knowing Jesus. And everything else can just fit in, can't it? But in terms of being people that reach out, this is the most important thing. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let's put it into context for us here in Clifton Church. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Clifton Road, in all of Worthing and West Sussex, and to the ends of the earth. Okay? And so it's important for us not just to think about ourselves in a nice little place together, you know, but to say, well, look, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And do you remember, I said at one point, I said this, it starts where you are with what you have. Okay? Now, we were thinking locally. We thought about our town centre, our town. And you only have to walk from one end of the town to the other. And the need shouts at you. So many people in need. And you see it in their faces. You see it in what's happening with them around. There is so much need. And I want to talk about need in a little bit. But we thought about Worthing. We thought about what we can do. And we had our international evening last night. And it really was a great evening. From me, I sat on the door. I was the bouncer. One or two people unsavoury got in, but most people, everyone got in, okay. I think it's really important to have a welcoming person on the door. That's why Vivian loves it. That's her gift, to welcome people in, to be there, and also to stop someone coming in and nicking things while everything's going on. But it was a great time for us as a church to reach other people. That was really great. Then we've also thought about the fact of the church being like a family, and we talked, didn't we, about training up in the church, ready to be going out into the world. And we also thought a little bit about praying for the world. When I was at Bible school, I went through a season of about two months, I suppose. Uzbekistan. It seemed to pop up absolutely everywhere. Uzbekistan, this. It's on the news. It was in what I read. And I thought, oh, this is really what I want to do. I was getting quite excited about it. But it was before the lady missionary came and talked about Africa. So then it all changed. But I was listening out for Uzbekistan. And when God puts things on your heart, you begin to listen out for them, okay? And we were talking about the fact that people work go global. And you might say to me, "Well, I haven't got anything that I can give to go out there." I want to introduce a couple to you. This is Janet and Andrew Sweet. Michelle and I know Andrew's dad, Martin. Martin and his wife Claire were married on the same day as we were, and he had his stag do in the same pub that I went to. So it was quite funny. So we couldn't go to each other's weddings. And then while I was in Kenya at one point, I met up with Andrew because they both worked in Kenya for a while. She's actually a typesetter. Okay, so she gets things on the page right for Bible translation. Andrew, it says now he's part of the Wycliffe People team, but when he was in Kenya, he was the accountant. He just did the books. I wonder what skills you have that actually you could use anywhere. Okay. So we've got this opportunity on our doorstep to reach out all these different people that come in. But there is a call that God has to us to move out. Okay? You might say, "Whew, well, I haven't got that call. That's good news." But the call to any work for God, there's a call from God's heart to ours for anything that he wants us to do. Okay? Whether it be I remember during COVID, I think John and Ross used to go and sit on the beach in the shelter, didn't you? And people walking along, a couple of times you did that, just sitting there, just so for people to talk to. Something they did. You could look at all different things around the world, couldn't you? You could think about Gaza. What could you do there? Well, I could go there and start building. Think about orphans. Think about Romanian gypsies. Think about street kids. Think about big tent evangelism. My friend Stephen has just come back from a month in Kenya, Western Kenya. That's his tent. No, it's not that. It's not his. Yes, it is. It's his tent. It's massive. When he was praying about things, God said, "Get a big tent." And he got a massive tent, and he's seen hundreds and hundreds of people come to the Lord over his campaign over the last few weeks. And alongside that, he's been teaching pastors. That's his calling. He's an evangelist. He really is. That's his calling, to do those sorts of things. But it might be as well that his mission needs an accountant. Or Acorn needs an accountant. Or Hope in Africa needs a treasurer. Or, you know, what skills have you got? Or, like Rob and True did during the COVID time, they were dorm parents in an international school in Thailand. What's the special qualifications for that? You've got to be a mum and a dad. You've got to love, in this case, teenagers. And Rob and True were stuck with those teenagers in the Thai lockdown. And they just stayed there. And they just looked after those kids for that time. So there's all sorts of amazing things that can be done. But what I want to do this morning is to think about some of the foundations that are needful for mission. Okay? And this is the first thing. The need is not the call. Okay? You know, some people will say, "Oh, I saw this need, so I had to do it. I had to get on and do." But actually, if you're doing it without being called by God, actually you're going to fall flat on your face. Yes, the need is there, and yes, the need stirs our hearts, but actually we've got to be open to hearing God call us, okay? Whether we be someone who just wants to do things locally or England-wide or internationally. Yes, we see the need. Yes, when I first met the Street Boys, it broke my heart. But I prayed and said, Lord, what do you want me to do about this need? I mean, have you ever imagined seeing? I'm in this area inside Nairobi city centre, and there's this street family, and there's a woman handing out the glue to all the people that are bringing back things that they've stolen, and they're all sniffing the glue. And then at my feet, there's these sacks, raffia sacks, and they're moving. And I look down and I see a brand new baby. And I can't handle it now. I couldn't handle it then. I just went away and wept. Oh, Lord. Move my heart, Lord. Move our hearts. So what we need open ears and we need willing hearts. Okay? So that when God speaks to us, we're willing to say yes to him. So let's have a look for a few minutes at Isaiah, okay? And I think this is a little bit of his call. At this point, he says, I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Then he said, go. I always think about that thing in Shrek where Shrek wants to get someone to help him go to the rescue the princess, and the donkey says, me, choose me. And are we listening to God? Who will go for us? Who will go for us? And do we sort of go, okay, well, I'll hide behind so-and-so because I don't really want to do this. Or are we willing to say, here am I, Lord, send me. So let's have a look at the whole scripture, okay, from, it's not Isaiah 1:6, it's Isaiah 6:1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. One cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me. That's a really good old English phrase, isn't it? Woe is me, for I am undone. Now, can we put that into more colloquial language? Let's try this. Help, I've been found out. Help, I'm just not up to the task. I don't have the inner resources for it. So he carries on, he says, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the middle of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. His eyes were open to the fact he'd seen God, he'd seen the Lord high and lifted up. And then he saw everyone else in comparison to the Lord. Then, it says in verse 6, one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he'd taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. And then we get the other verse. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall send? Who shall I send? Who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, send me. Then he said, go. So before Isaiah could go, he needed that coal to touch his lips. Okay? He needed a changed life. And I think it's been coming across this morning already, hasn't it, about the fact that the newness of God, the new things that God are doing in our midst at this moment, a changed life. Have you had a changed life? Have you known? Now, obviously not. You've not experienced a heavenly being flying down to you with a pair of tongs and a piece of coal in it and touching your lips. But do you know the Lord Jesus' death and resurrection for you? A changed life. Isaiah also had a life that was close to God. He was close enough to hear what God said. And then, when God said, go, he went. He was obedient. Yeah? He had an obedient heart. So there's some things that are sort of foundations for us as we think about going out for mission. But let's look at just one or two more. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, 25 to 28. It says, but Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life a ransom for many. Sometimes you think, right, God's called me. I've got this thing to do for God. I'm going to do it. And everyone else, you better just watch out, because God's given me this job to do. And I know that everyone needs my ministry because of... No. We've got to have a servant heart. We've got to be like Jesus was. He came to serve the world. And that is shown in things like the washing the disciples' feet, the way that he went about healing people. I love it, the fact that when a leper came to him, he reached out and touched him. I mean, who in their right mind at that point in history would have touched a leper? Nobody. He broke ceremonial codes by reaching out and touching. But he was a servant in it. Yeah, he served his disciples. He served the world by dying. Okay? And this is so important. If you end up in another country serving others, don't think you know it all. You go to learn. Okay? It's a well-known fact that you learn more than you give when you go out and serve. Okay. Philippians says this: you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God. He humbled himself. He was a servant, but also he humbled himself. This is so important. If you're going to go and you're going to respond to the call of God and go and do something, somewhere, whether it be in the confines of the church or whether it be out in Worthing or abroad, as you go, you've got to have a humble heart. I can remember sitting in someone's office somewhere in Dagoretti, and this guy was running a school, and he got all these trophies that the school had won in his office. Okay, he was the headmaster. And he sat there and he said, yes, I'm so humble about what God has done here. talk about cringe. It was really, oh, goodness me, arms. You know, I'm ever so humble. No, we need humility. And it comes from the Spirit of Jesus, doesn't it? Okay. And, humble, humility, very, very important for us. And here's another thing. This is probably the last. Oh, no, a couple more after this. So pray to the Lord, says Jesus, who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. Now, you could, if you've got a different version, you might say, pray the Lord of the harvest. Okay, this is just this particular version that it said. Pray the Lord of the harvest, who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. So obviously we're talking about a praying heart. Okay? Now, when you pray, when you get down, okay, figuratively, when you come to pray and you're praying and you're asking God this thing, Lord, I want you to send more workers into the harvest. I mean, I don't know about you, when I saw that video and I read the first thing about the fact that the Wycliffe people are just about to start work on the Old Testament in that language, and the joy that it brought, I wanted to pray, Lord, send more workers into that harvest of translating. But you have to be careful when you pray those prayers. Because if you pray that prayer, Lord, send more workers, send more workers. And then God will say, okay, off you go. It's you. Wow. Are you ready? Let's see what Oswald Chambers says about this verse. The key to the problems that arise in missionary work lie in God's hands, not humanity's. The key isn't hard work or common sense. It isn't education or medical aid. It isn't even evangelizing. The key is prayer. So pray to the Lord. We're challenged by the difference between our human view of prayer and the Lord's. From our point of view, prayer is completely impractical and absurd. From our Lord's point of view, prayer is the only thing that makes sense. We say it's ridiculous to think that God is going to change things in answer to prayer. This is exactly what Jesus Christ says God will do. And that he will send forth labourers into his harvest. Jesus Christ owns the harvest that is produced by distress and by conviction of sin. This is the harvest we must pray that labourers will be sent to reap. This harvest isn't located in a particular place. It isn't directed at certain people. There are no nations or tribes in Jesus Christ's outlook, only the world. How many of us have learned to pray without respect to persons, only with respect to a person, Jesus himself? Too often we lose sight of Jesus Christ, becoming distracted by our own agendas. People all around us are ripe to harvest, and we don't even notice. We just go on wasting our Lord's time in over-energized activities. Suppose a crisis of faith comes in your father's life or your sister's life. Are you there as a labourer to reap the harvest for Jesus? Or do you say, oh, I've got a special work to do. I don't have time to deal with my brother. No, Christian has special work to do. Christians are called to be Jesus Christ's own. Disciples who don't dictate to their master. Our Lord doesn't call us to special work. He calls us to himself. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, and he will engineer your circumstances and send you out. Wow. So we're almost at the end here. Romans chapter 8. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. To those who are the called. So, can I put this one as the last foundation for mission? A cold heart. I remember a young man. I've said this before, so I'm sorry I'm repeating myself. But I remember this young man, Richard, when I was working in the kids' tent at the summer conference. And it came to the time where you'd put out the appeal for the children to respond. And every time he would respond, he'd come and talk to me. He said, "I don't know what God wants for me yet, but I just know he's calling me." I said, "I don't know, I just know that God's calling me." Now, there have been others who at that call have come up and said, "Yeah, I know exactly what God wants for me. He wants me to repent. He wants me to be, so I can get forgiven, I can be filled." I remember one particular young man saying that. But Richard always, and every year he was in the kids' tent, he'd come up the hill and he'd go, "Hello, Richard." I said, "Do you know yet?" He said, "No, but I just know he's calling me. Just know he's calling me." So, who in this church is called? I have a picture. I have a picture here of everyone in this church who is called. Can you? I've not got a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, but this is who is called. Have a look at this picture. Who do you see? Who do you see? That's who's called. It's you. We need to hear God's call. Now, I know I'm in danger of speaking these things and people say, "Right, okay, I'm off here, I'm doing that, and we're left with no one in the church." I don't mind. If God is calling you and you feel God is calling you to go to another part of England or to go abroad, great. You go with blessing. Let's hear the call of Jesus. So, finishing off again with another Oswald quote. The aim of the missionary is to do God's will. Not to be useful. Not to win the heathen. They are useful. They do win the heathen. But that is not their aim. Their aim is to do the will of their Lord. So we need to hear that voice from God. Who will go for us? Here I am, Lord. I'm ready. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give some space in praying for you to transact with God on what he's been saying over the last few weeks, perhaps, in the last three sessions we've been looking at, particularly with looking out. And then we won't sing. I've got a song that I'd like you to listen to with the words, okay? So let's pray together. Hallelujah. Lord God, this is amazing, Lord, that you would consider calling people like us. Lord, we are not those who have got extraordinary lives. We're not those that feel we've got it all together. Lord, we're not those, Lord, that have got powered lives other than the Spirit. But we come to you, Lord, because we know that your call is to ordinary men and women, boys and girls, ordinary people. And I think we all fit in that category, Lord. So this morning, Lord, as we finish up this whole thing about reaching out wider and wider, Lord God, I want to ask you, Lord, for us as a church and for us as individuals, that we would know your word and call to our hearts. Now I'm going to be silent for a bit. You do your transacting with God. Father God. Lord. Lord, you see our hearts. Lord. We've thought about different foundational things that our hearts should be this morning. But Lord, we come to you and ask you, Lord, if there are things that are missing from our foundations, Lord, that you'd build them in. Lord, if there's places you want us to go, people you want us to speak to, Lord, then begin to lay things on our hearts, Lord. But Lord, above all, we want to hear your voice as the one that is leading and guiding us in these days. Thank you, Lord. Amen.